Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and on today's episode, I'll be joined by Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle to discuss our takeaways from Warriors minicamp and how that camp will impact the Warriors' offseason plans.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm here with Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle. Connor, thanks for joining me. I'm glad you're here because Warriors minicamp ended Tuesday, and even though sessions were closed to the media, I think there was a lot to glean from some of the interviews that we had with Steve Kerr and the other players. We should start, though, with Klay Thompson's health. Are you encouraged by what you've heard and some of the things that we've seen from Klay?
I definitely am, yeah. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Warriors are taking a pretty cautious approach with him. This is Klay Thompson. This is, you know, probably the second or maybe third most important player on the team. And so his long-term outlook is really going to affect the Warriors' long-term outlook. And so I think a lot of people entered minicamp expecting him to be a full go and have no restrictions, but he only participated in the controlled aspects of practice. He didn't participate in the unregulated 5-on-5 scrimmages where they were really getting up and down the court. But mm-hmm. from what we saw, from what the Warriors had tweeted out and what we heard from everyone, the parts of practice that he participated in, he looked good. I mean, as soon as I saw that tweet last week from the Warriors where they had him throwing down the one-handed dunk and he had the same amount of lift that he's ever had in his whole career, I thought, okay, yeah, he's in pretty good shape. Now, I'm sure his conditioning can get a little bit better, and you never know how a guy's going to respond to how he moves laterally and curling off screens. But at this point, I think everything looks good, and Warriors fans should be pretty confident that he can come back and be the Klay of old.
Yeah, and he apparently wasn't reporting any soreness to Rick Celebrini, the director of sports medicine performance for the Warriors, which is good, right? You don't want that soreness lingering because that obviously is going to inhibit how he can play throughout a full regular season, right, regardless of what he's doing in these practices and drills. I'm glad you mentioned what he can do laterally, though. I think that's the next thing. Like, the fact that – look, I understand them not rushing him back, right? Like, I get it. Like, you don't even know when the next season's going to start, so there's no reason to rush him back, and it seems like they had a cautious approach. It would have been nice, though, had he been able to participate in that game-like scrimmage because it's not until he does that are we going to know – how can he move laterally? Can he absorb contact when he's like fighting through screens and you know, trying to box out for rebounds and posting up and all these other things, right? Where it's really a game speed. And that to me is going to be the biggest thing with Klay. We know the shot is going to be there. Obviously the bounce is there. He was getting off of that left leg and landing on that left leg pretty comfortably, at least seemingly comfortably. But what is he going to be able to be that lockdown wing defender that he was during this dynastic run, or is that job going to have to fall to somebody else like an Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green even out on the perimeter? That to me is the biggest question.
Currently on the team.
True. No. And that, look, that's a big thing, right? Like, that's one of the things that Steve Kerr said was that watching this team kind of play together kind of gives him a better idea in this front office, a better idea of what they're going to need to prioritize this offseason. Maybe something like that, you know, extra wing help on the defensive end is going to be a priority for them if they're not totally convinced that Klay can be what he was prior to the ACL tear.
Yeah, and I think even though you know what he can bring defensively, I'm not sure you want to ask too much of him mm-hmm. defensively because he is so important to what you do offensively. Now, I know he doesn't expend as much energy as maybe some other guys offensively because he is so efficient and his game is really revolves around his catch and shoot ability. But if you're asking him to be the heavy lifter defensively every night, game in and game out over an 82 game season into the playoffs, I'm not sure that's fair. I mean, this guy's 30 years old now. He's coming back from an ACL and you want him to average around 20 plus points per game. So I think they need more help regardless, which is why the more I think about it, I'm actually kind of agreeing with you that they should seriously consider trying to get that in the lottery. You know, I actually mm-hmm. really like Devin Vassell as a guy who could come in from day one and maybe not be your best defender, maybe not be a total lockdown defender, but be someone who can take some pressure off Clay in that department.
It's also one of the reasons, and by the way, I love that you're now on the Devin Vassell bandwagon with me. But
it's just because I'm writing about him this week, so therefore I'm now obsessed with him. I feel like every week when I write about someone new, I kind of fall in love with them. So.
That's true. I think I talked to you 2 weeks ago, and you were all about Denny Avia, so now you're all in on Devin Vassell. I felt the same way. I wrote about Vassell, I think, last week, and everything that I heard about him, I was just like, yeah, this is the guy. He's the next, you know, Kawhi Leonard for sure. It's done. But I think that's another reason why, going back to this Klay Thompson situation, why Steve Kerr toward the end of last season started having Andrew Wiggins pick up opposing guards and ball handlers in those last few games is because if that was Klay's job, right? Is the Splash Brothers, for everything they do offensively, Klay Thompson was the guy who picked up the primary ball handler on the defensive end, and that allowed them to hide Steph Curry a little bit more on a less of an offensive threat. If Klay's not, and I agree, they should not be asking him to do that at 30 years old coming off of an ACL tear. So they tested Andrew Wiggins in those occasions. I thought Wiggins did pretty well in those situations. He's long, 6'7" with that 7-foot wingspan. He's obviously quick. Like knock Andrew Wiggins for all these other things, but he's an athlete. He might be the best athlete on the team right now. It's just it's a matter of, you know, focus and paying attention and just defensive principles. And I thought he did a good job at the end of the year. And you know, it's small sample size, but if you could do that for the balance of the season and you can shift Klay towards guarding, you know, forwards and maybe less of that primary ball handling duty, that could be beneficial for Klay as far as coming back from this thing.
Yeah. I talked to Ron Adams toward the end of last season, and Ron was adamant that Andrew Wiggins can be one of the best defenders in the league. I mean, he said, I think this is an all defensive team guy, which is high praise given that early in his career with Minnesota, some people thought he was one of the worst defenders in the NBA because he really had a bad habit of ball watching and just not really paying attention. But if there's one thing I've learned about covering the NBA, it's that all these guys are so physically gifted. A lot of it's just about fit and situation. And he's in a situation where, with the Warriors, where he's not going to be asked to do nearly as much offensively, and he's going to have people around him who believe in him and empower him and are going to put him in positions to succeed defensively. I don't really think that was a priority for Minnesota, and I don't feel like he really was made to believe in himself on that end of the floor.
Right. And speaking of Andrew Wiggins, Steve Kerr had nothing but high praise for Andrew Wiggins during this mini camp. I want to talk about that next, but first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar that I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Actually, I had the peanut butter one today. That's a classic flavor, but it's one of my favorites. Throw that thing in the fridge. Gets a little cold. Really nice. Good way to go. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie. They're low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low-carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order, plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. On Tuesday, I broke down the strengths and weaknesses of and the potential fit of Killian Hayes. You can find that in the Locked On Warriors podcast feed. But I'm here now with Connell Letourneau. We are talking about the end of Warriors minicamp. We just got done talking about Klay Thompson, started talking a little bit about Andrew Wiggins. And Steve Kerr praised Wiggins overall for his conditioning. And that's one of these markers in minicamps and training camps and things like that, is what are these guys doing in their off time, quote-unquote off time, right? It's obvious that Wiggins was working at Chase Center. We know that he was with one-on-one and individual workouts, but he's in great shape. And one of the things that stuck out to me, Connor, what Steve Kerr said about Wiggins was that he is so strong, and that strength may allow them to play Wiggins at the four more often next season, presuming in lineups with Draymond Green at the five.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually like the small ball, potential small ball lineup that the Warriors have with Wiggins at the four. And I know there's been a lot of talk, given what the Lakers have been doing in these playoffs, that you know, the Warriors need to go big and what have you. But I honestly disagree with that. I think the Warriors want to play their style, and their style has really evolved into to more of a small ball, positionless brand of basketball. And they're not going to change how they play for anyone else. They're going to ask, if they do end up matching up with the Lakers in the playoffs next year, they're going to ask the Lakers to try to defend them and keep up with their tempo and that kind of thing. And that could be just as difficult, if not more difficult, than contending with the Lakers' size. So I like the possibilities that Andrew Wiggins presents in a lot of ways. And I feel even more adamant in the fact that this is a guy who's going to be around long term. I don't see them dangling him or trading him for a potential blockbuster deal. If that blockbuster deal happens, it's probably going to come at the trade deadline, when they can dangle whoever they get with the traded player exception and that expiring contract. I don't see Wiggins going anywhere. I just think he's a perfect fit for what they want to do. And I don't think any other team's going to value him as much as the Warriors do.
No, not at least until they build up his trade value. I mean, you never want to say that Wiggins is going to be here forever, but right. It does really seem like they're not in a rush to trade Wiggins. Like they were maybe in a little bit of a rush to trade D'Angelo Russell, at least for somebody who fit the way that Wiggins fits. Which is certainly better than the way Russell fit. But I agree with the other point you made too. If the Warriors were going to suddenly try to match up with the Lakers, they would have to reshape this roster almost completely, right? Like, whatever you think about Marquese Chris, forget about it. Like, whatever you think about all these other guys, you'd have to go out and just go get so much more size throughout this whole team. You'd have to redo everything you kind of built your identity on. One thing we know about the Warriors is that they're really not in the game of, let's match up with other teams. They really, like, they got to where they were because they forced other teams to match up with them. I don't know if that's going to work against the Lakers. All I'm saying is that that's what's going to happen here. Now, they could go out to free agency and get a 7-footer at the minimum contract with a mid-level exception or something like that, but they're not going to dramatically change everything that is that they do in order to compete with one team in the Western Conference. I think Wiggins at the 4 would be a really good fit for him. First of all, That outside jumper, it was nice in those 12 games that we saw with the Warriors, but overall for his career, it's been shaky. I'm not sure I trust it yet. Mm-hmm. That becomes less of an issue when he's playing the power forward spot versus the small forward spot on the perimeter, right? Mm-hmm. And then with his athleticism and the way he cuts off the basket, imagine him on, you know, cutting from the corners along the baseline, going up for lobs with Draymond Green facilitating from the 5 spot. I mean, you could just it's the Draymond Green to Andre Iguodala connection, right? Like,
right.
I don't know that Wiggins is going to be the next Harrison Barnes, but I think he could be a little bit of a combination of what they got out of Andre Iguodala on the offensive end with a little bit more scoring potential, or definitely more scoring potential, with what Harrison Barnes brought as far as unlocking some versatile lineups.
Yeah, I think he's a better version of Harrison Barnes. I think that's how they view him, and I think that's what he's going to be able to do. He's more athletic than Harrison Barnes. I think he's even a better rim cutter. And if he can be consistent with that open jumper, and keep in mind, it's going to be open because he's going to be sharing a floor with Steph and Clay. And that was not necessarily the case in Minnesota. You know, he was double teamed a lot. He was kind of the go-to option offensively a lot of times. So I think he appreciates that. And I mean, we got the chance to talk to him last week, and he was as loquacious as I've ever heard him. I mean, and by that I mean he was talking in more than short phrases. He's never been a super verbal guy, but he seemed genuinely excited. He seemed genuinely happy to be there. You can tell that this kind of like weight, this burden, has been lifted off of him, and he doesn't feel as much pressure, and he's just enjoying being in a positive environment because there was so much negativity around him in Minnesota.
I was asked this on my mailbag, I think it was last week, whether or not I thought Andrew Wiggins could be an all-star. I think he could be a borderline all-star in the league. I think that he's got potential to get there. It's going to take him a while to sort of shed the reputation that he has as being this inefficient player, right? Like, he may deserve to go to an all-star game 1 or 2 years from now, but not really make that all-star game 3 or 4 years from now, because I just think it takes a while for the league to sort of catch up, and certainly the voters. What do you think? Do you think he could one day be an all-star for this team?
I think there's a chance. I mean, the guy's only 25 years old, and a lot of it depends on how good the Warriors are. If they end up being the best team in the league within the next couple of years, and he's a key part of that, I think he very much could be deserving of an All-Star appearance. I mean, statistically, maybe if you overlook some of his efficiency numbers, he's played at an All-Star caliber level in past years. He just, you know, was on losing teams. And I think, you know, when the Warriors were really at their best, they had four All-Stars every year. And, you know, one of those past, you know, last couple of years that they had multiple All-Stars was Kevin Durant. He's not on the team anymore. So, now I'm not saying that Andrew Wiggins is going to be Kevin Durant, but he could kind of fill that void in some ways. And I think do enough potentially to get an All-Star bid. And, you know, who knows if they're still really good and Draymond Green kind of falls off, which a lot of people think he could, you know, maybe they are good enough to warrant three All-Stars and he's that third All-Star. It's possible.
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, he's got 20 points per game type of potential. He's going to do that at a more efficient clip, presumably. The Warriors are, just because he's playing with Stephen Clay, the Warriors are going to need him to score points. I mean, you mentioned the Durant thing. Durant's not there anymore. They need, and I don't think you can really expect Draymond Green to even average 10 points per game at this point in his career. They're going to need Andrew Wiggins to score. It's something close to 18 to 20 points per game. That's what they're going to need if you look at what these other teams in the league are doing. One other point before we move on from Andrew Wiggins, though. If he is able to play the small ball four, I still think it really mixes up or changes what they can do, at least frees them up, I should say, with what they need to do in free agency. That means that they don't have to go after somebody who can do that, right? It means that they don't have to use the TPE on Rudy Gay, for example, or they don't have to rely on Eric Paschal developing that three-point jumper so that he could play next to Draymond Green. All of a sudden, like, you start envisioning what that small ball group looks like with Steph and Clay and Wiggins and Draymond. And that fifth spot is a little bit more versatile. You could throw a ball handler in there. You could throw maybe even a non-floor spacer in that position. Obviously, whoever that player is going to have to be versatile somewhat defensively, right? But it does free them up with what they have to do in this offseason. It doesn't limit them to just finding the next Harrison Barnes, let's say.
Along those lines, it's going to be important for Eric Paschal to prove that he can play a three at a consistent level.
Right, you know, he didn't play really, and he didn't participate that much in minicamp.
He didn't, and that was actually a little odd. I thought. I mean, he was late to minicamp. It looked like I think he had a family obligation early on, and then he got into quarantine late. But I guess his conditioning just wasn't where they wanted it to be, and that makes me wonder if that was more than just because he was quarantining later than other people, or maybe he was just got a little bit out of shape. I mean, this is a guy who's naturally big, so he really has to watch his weight. I'm not sure that's a major concern, but it was something that kind of intrigued me. But yeah, he's going to need to learn how to play the three because you don't want too much of a log jam at that four spot, you know, especially since some of the guys we're talking about who they could take at two or in the lottery could be fours as well. So you don't want too many power forwards. As long as you have versatility and length and you have options, that's going to make Steve Kerr's job a lot easier.
There's another development that I thought was really interesting, and that was with Jordan Poole. And when we talk about what developments in minicamp, and you don't want to make, you know, huge conclusions off of a 2-week voluntary camp, but what Jordan Poole did, I think, can really impact what the Warriors do this offseason. We'll talk about that next year on Locked On Warriors. Let's talk about Roman, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and just take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Connor, Jordan Poole had a strong minicamp showing. Steve Kerr went so far as to say he was the most consistent player in the building over the last few weeks, and that that he was really impressed with what he saw from Jordan Poole as far as working toward having a breakout sophomore season. It sounds like this team is expecting, or at least putting out there, that Jordan Poole is going to have a stronger sophomore year than his first season, right? Because we know how those first 3 months were. He was shooting 25% from the field, but that last month of the season, he got really he came along strong. His percentages were at a normal NBA player level, some 40-something percent. He was showing off some ball handling and playmaking abilities. If he is able to develop that way and have a strong showing in the next time that this team gets together, whether it be training camp or preseason, whatever it looks like, he may eliminate the need for the Warriors to go out and get a backup, like a traditional backup point guard. I'm not sure that was always a huge priority, but Jordan Poole is on track at least to earn the minutes behind Steph Curry, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting possibility. Even if he makes strides, I'm not sure I personally would be comfortable with that. The bottom line is what really is going to matter for the Warriors next season is you need, 8 to 9 guys that you're comfortable playing meaningful minutes in the playoffs. Is Jordan Poole going to be that guy next season? Even if he makes strides, I'm not sure you can ask him to do that next season. Now, I've covered the league long enough to know that I've heard a lot of this type of praise in the offseason about these young guys and then see it not necessarily translate into the season. I think a lot of it is they're kind of trying to build these guys up. And look, I'm sure he has been in the gym every day. I'm sure he is improving. But I do have a hard time just looking at the roster, seeing where his minutes are going to come from. Because, you're getting Clay back, you're getting Steph back. You're going to add a lottery pick who very well could be a guard. We've talked about Tyrese Haliburton. We've talked about Denny, who's kind of a secondary ball handler. We've talked about Killian Hayes and all those
Anthony
guys.
Edwards. So, yeah.
And you might want to add another wing/guard in free agency. So I'm just not confident he's going to be able to get meaningful rotation minutes next season, even if he's better.
But in the regular season, I think he could, and that's when I look at Jordan Poole. I don't know what you're going to do in the postseason. Like this team, there's one thing we know about Jordan Poole, and at least they keep talking about his confidence. I didn't really see that confidence as much when he was really slumping, though you can't really blame him for that. But I do believe that if he can at least shoot at an NBA level and not at 25% and makes and do some playmaking and some ball handling, that he could at least get regular season minutes. And I think the Warriors are going to need that, not only from Steph Curry for people to be able to spell him, but from Draymond and Klay Thompson as well. All these guys now are over 30 years old. I think that we could see a Warriors rotation that even in the regular season isn't like 10 deep, but 12 or 13 deep.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that you make a good point. That's always kind of been Steve's MO. Let me kind of revise what I just said. I do think he'll get minutes in the regular season. I'm just not sure that he'll be like a key staple of the rotation. And in the way
especially in the playoffs, which I think, I think I think you were clear.
I mean, some of the praise we heard the past few days about Jordan was so lofty that I think fans are kind of getting carried away with their expectations for him. That being said though, I do think that we've only seen, the surface level of what he's able to do. I think he's a guy who his scouting report out of college was only a fraction of what his abilities actually are because of how he was used in Michigan. I think he can do a lot off the ball as well as on the ball. And it was kind of fun toward the end of last season when the games really didn't matter anymore to see him starting at point guard and see what he could do as a playmaker. And I think he can do even more. It's going to be fun to see his development and see, how he kind of taps into those physical tools. But, I think he's a guy who very much can be a solid part of this rotation long term, which if you had asked me toward the beginning of last season, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, he was, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that he was maybe the worst rotation player in the NBA majority of last season. I mean, he was awful on both ends. He just had, he was totally unprepared for the moment, but he learned on the fly and he got better. And I give him credit for that.
Absolutely. And I think that's encouraging, right? Like, you want to see growth from players like that. Before we get out of here, one last note, and I'll ask for your quick thoughts, Connor. Marquise Chris, Steve Kerr thinks that he could still get much better than where he is. Kevon Looney looks healthy finally. How big is it that the Warriors are going into next season, whenever that begins, with a Marquise Chris building off of a breakout season and Kevon Looney at presumably something close to 100% healthy?
Yeah, if I'm the Warriors, I'm really excited about Marquise Chris. He finished last season really strong, and he did things that I think are going to translate into next season. And I think once you get Steph on the floor with him, you're going to really see the full range of what he can do, because he is, as I know you've written extensively, he's a really good passer and he's really good in dribble handoff situations. And he wasn't fully able to show that given the roster makeup most of last season, but I expect that to show through even more next season. And, you know, well, it's interesting because one of the big knocks on him was his basketball IQ, but I actually think he has a great basketball IQ.
He's got great feel, no doubt.
He's got great feel. Like, he's in the right place on the court most of the time, especially offensively. Defensively, I thought he got a lot better in that department over the course of last season. You can see the confidence. He's always been skilled. It's just he's been in dysfunctional situations. He hasn't had coaches who believe in him. Now that you're seeing with a young guy how important that is to be in a situation where you're empowered and people believe in you, and he's enjoying it, and he wants to make them happy. He wants to make good on their belief in him. So I personally, I know I've written this many times, I've said this many times, I personally would have no qualms about the Warriors going into next season with him as the starting center. I really would.
No, you have Marquise Chris at starting center. He's sort of your lob threat. You know, call him your JaVale McGee, but I think he's a more dynamic offensive player than that, and certainly maybe more capable defensive player. Then you've got Kevon Looney healthy. He's your switchable five that you unlock, that you use in those types of situations in certain matchups. And then if they go out and just get a traditional 7-footer at the minimum or the MLE, then you kind of have all the things you need in that rotation. I think overall it was a really strong mini camp for the Warriors. But despite not getting Steph or Draymond in there, I think they really got everything they needed out of that thing. Connor, I got everything I needed out of you too. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. You could follow Connor and his work on Twitter, Con_Cron. Follow all of his stuff over at the San Francisco Chronicle. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.